I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. My name's Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week just breaking those myths that mompreneurs, you know, dabble in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We are smart, savvy businesswomen finding that balance between building our businesses and raising a family. And when we talk about balance, we don't talk about equality because it is an equal time. It's not a 50-50 spread here, but it is keeping all those balls in the air and doing it successfully. And I love our social media journey because it leads me to meeting the most amazing women, and today is no exception to the wonderful guests that I am going to be sharing. Erica Aquini Kastner is just a force to be reckoned with. She, from climbing the corporate ladder to entrepreneurship, she's not a stranger to the professional development world. She's the founder of Queen of Results Business Coaching and Consulting, a company that's dedicated to helping the busiest professionals become unstoppable in all areas of their business life. Erica's also the host of the podcast series Proclamation of Persistence, The Busy Professional's Guide to Triumph and Success. Erica lives in Cape Coral with her husband Ed and her two children. She's a member of the Greater Fort Myers Chamber of Commerce, American Business Women's Association, Sanibel Captiva Chapter, and she's also on the Dress for Success Southwest Florida Advisory Board, an inaugural Impact Initiative member, and a Gulf Shore Business Magazine 40 Under 40 alum. So with all that being said, Erica, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Oh, my goodness, Dori. Thank you so much. We're going to have a lot of fun today. I'm very excited about being a guest on your show.
You know what, and I'm thrilled to have you. And before I really get into the nitty-gritty, I just love that you're Erica Queenie Kastner. So tell everybody where the Queenie came from, because I love this story.
Well, you know, it's so funny. So about 10 years ago, I moved to the Southwest Florida area, and I didn't know a whole lot of people, but I knew an organization, a little organization called the Miss America Organization. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. So I actually volunteered as a director for a local Miss America preliminary, which, if you guys don't know about the Miss America organization, it's awesome. It's one of the largest scholarship organizations for young women, and they've given out over $45 million in scholarships to women. It really, it's a truly tremendous organization. So I actually was a volunteer director for a local preliminary here to the Miss Florida pageant. And then some of my friends that I was meeting through that association, one of them in particular, a realtor friend of mine here in town, was like, "You're just a little Queenie. You're just like, you know, organizing all these things and you're doing your thing and you're supporting women." So she just kept calling me Queenie. And I just thought it was kind of an endearing nickname until social media came out about really 2 years later in 2008 when social media platforms really started taking off. And she suggested you should brand that. And at the time, I didn't have a business. I was, you know, a volunteer. I was working for a company. I really didn't, like, think about it. But I was like, well, why the heck not? So I did. I started calling myself Erica Queenie Kastner. And before you know it, as I grew popularity, so did the name. It started catching on. And then when I formed the company in January, it just kind of became my moniker.
I love that, and it's so funny. A friend of mine sent me, because we always joke about, what do you mean I can't be queen? And she sent me a graphic yesterday, and it made me think of you. And it's like, not all of us can be queen, but I'll wave at you as you pass by.
That's right.
I knew, it was so cute, and I thought of you. I was like, oh, I can't wait to tell Erica. Because
oh,
I
so
do. I love that. I love that. Well, and you know, I really do, because let's face it, my daughter sent me a card once, you know, if you're the queen, it makes me the princess, we all win. So, and that's what it boils down to, because with that comes the sharing and that, you know, it's weird when you take on that Queenie moniker, you are now, you know, subject to sharing and building and helping others grow.
Right. You know? And, you know, and sorry to cut you off, but I guess the point I would love to make is, you know, that I think each one of us have a little bit of that within us. And I think for me, and I'm sure we'll get into this throughout the course of today's interview, but when I was growing up, I didn't feel royal. I didn't feel regal. I didn't feel special enough to own that title. And so I grew into that. That wasn't something that just like I had it from day one. It was something that evolved over the course of time. So I think a lot of women out there that are thinking, oh gosh, well, she must be the queen of everything. Well, no. Like, you own something. So what can you do to be the queen in your world? What can you do to be the queen in your universe?
That's a good question. I like that. That is really, you know, there's something to think about. You know, what can you do to be the queen in your world, in your little, I mean, let's face it, we all have our own little universe and then we can become part of the greater collective. And, you know, mm-hmm. I would love for you to share how you journeyed through the world of the corporate ladder into that entrepreneurial, mompreneurial world that you now live in.
Thank you so much for that. So I guess, you know, I started my corporate journey at a very entry-level position in 1996. I can't believe it's almost been 20 years. So I was working in the department store world, I mean, in retail. So I was working for a major cosmetic company. But again, I was working behind the counter. I was like when I was all of 16 years old, 17 years old, I think at the time, it was my lifelong dream to work behind a cosmetic counter. I mean, that just seems so fancy. And so like, oh, that's what I'll do. So I did. I got involved with that. And from that, I actually started teaching and training teams, moved away from cosmetics for a little bit and went into, you know, clothing and textiles. So I actually moved up through different companies depending on the position offerings that were going on. And ended up in 2004, ended up working as a brand manager for one of the largest lingerie companies in the world. So I was actually with them for a little while before I moved to Florida. And then when I moved to Florida in 2005, that's when things really started changing for me because I wanted to get out of corporate America altogether. I mean, at that point, I'd been in it almost 10 years. I felt like I was really in a place where I had exhausted a lot of my obligations and responsibilities. I was starting to feel a little burned out. So I wanted to switch gears. And, you know, I came from Illinois. So Florida was the furthest, I mean, in terms of climate and even from an economic climate standpoint, I mean, not only like the actual like climate, but like from an economic standpoint, in 2005, Southwest Florida was booming. You know, there was a lot of real estate development going on here. So I followed my ex-husband. He was in the housing industry, followed his footsteps and started getting involved with the housing industry and worked with a title company. And that's how I really got into the community because through that, they were very involved with organizations like the local Chamber of Commerce, Rotary, Kiwanis, some other trade associations. And so from there, I was like, oh, okay, this is way different than my retail roots because I was so used to people coming in on my turf. But now I was in a position where I had to go out and promote what I was doing for the title company. And if you guys know anything about title insurance, it's really not that sexy. I mean, you've got to have it if you're buying property. So I mean, and it's not one of those things where you can, like, cuddle on it or love on it. I mean, it was really just an opportunity for me to, you know, connect with other realtors, other mortgage brokers, and make connections that way. And so, you know, from there, it kind of opened up the door for other opportunities. I didn't land – I wasn't at the title company for much longer than that because people were starting to see that I was connecting the dots in the community and – quite honestly, I loved being involved with the chamber, and so that's how I ended up working for one ultimately. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a winding road of how I got to where I'm at today in the professional development world, but I guess I've always had those traits and always those characteristics from day one, just teaching and training people what I know and how to improve them and how to take them to the next level. And now it's landed me the opportunity to do that for myself, my own business, which is awesome.
So as you were doing this, what was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome in making that shift from, you know, let's face it, it's a huge shift from employee to boss to owner to now training other people and teaching other people?
Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that question. I guess I could answer that a couple different ways, but the way that makes the most sense, I guess, for the purpose of the show is simply this. I guess I had to make a decision when I moved to South of Florida 10 years ago. So for me, I was resigned to living in Illinois. That was what I was going to do. I got married to my first husband in 2001, and he was a very successful business owner there. And so it really didn't matter for me in terms of my job. I mean, I felt like I didn't really have a voice. I mean, at the time, I didn't think that, but now in hindsight, I really didn't have a voice. And so when I moved to Florida, I was really mad about it. I was really upset because I felt like my whole world was being disrupted. I lived in Illinois for many, many years. I was leaving a lot of my friends. And so I had to make a decision when I moved to Florida to say, you know what, come hell or high water, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to get friends. I'm going to really create what I want, because there's no predetermined stigma. I mean, I lived in a community in Illinois for 20-some years, and so every bit of baggage that came with that responsibility actually, you know, I felt like it plagued me. When I moved to Florida, nobody knew that about me. I was just this new person that came onto the scene, so I could really make whatever I wanted out of my life, and so I guess the biggest challenge for me was just to get out of my own BS, get out of my own way, and just say, you know what, like that was my story, maybe that was my past, but that doesn't define me today. And so how do I rock my world today? What can I do today to make an impact on my life, which is the most important? I think a lot of working moms out there have a tendency to put that emphasis on other people, but you've got to take control of that for yourself first before you can even make anybody else happy. So really just getting ownership of my self-worth, my sense, was the biggest challenge I had to overcome. And I feel like on some level, I'm not overcoming it yet. It's still a work in progress.
Do you think that that's part of what keeps other working moms from living out their dreams?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Because, you know, again, as I alluded to, we as moms, we're nurturers, so by default, we're going to make sure that everybody else is taken care of first. So we're going to say yes to a lot of different things before we really look at our big plate and say, do I really logistically have the time to commit to all of this? So it shows up in work. It shows up in our family life. I mean, I remember I'm a relatively new mom, and this is what's interesting is I'm a gift mom to two teenage daughters, so they came into my world about 4 years ago, and so before that I wasn't a mom in the traditional sense. I mean, I have a lot of nieces and nephews and a lot of other friends that have kids, so I guess I was motherly to them. But one of the things that was most interesting, and I bet a lot of the audience that's listening to this could probably identify with this, is that they say yes to their kids because they want to make them happy. They don't want to make them upset. They don't want them to resent them or to feel like, or maybe they have some deep-rooted fear about they didn't get anything when they were growing up. So now they've got to overcompensate and give to their kids. But the same happens in the work world too. I mean, we try to make people happy because we want to make people happy. We're nurturers. We want to care for people. So what ends up happening is they put themselves on the bottom of the totem pole and they take care of everybody else first. So they give, but there's nothing left at the end of the day to give back to themselves. So, you know, there are certain exercises that I walk my clients through. I mean, this isn't like an overnight process. I mean, because as logical as this might sound to some of you guys to just say, okay, well, I can forget about everybody else and take care of me, we still go back to taking care of everybody else, right? I mean, so it's not like, you know, it's not like there's this light bulb that goes off instantaneously. There's a process that I usually walk my clients through. It's the same process my coach worked me through, you know, who eventually taught and trained me how to coach other people on this very principle. It's just eliminating some of that self-doubt and those self-worth issues to really rock their world.
Well, and in that sense, I mean, we talk about it, I talk about it at the beginning of the intro about creating that balance with work and family. I mean, how do you share or enlighten people on and help them achieve that balance or that semblance of balance?
Yeah, I think that's the, you know, that's the magical, mystical land of balance that really doesn't exist. And, you know, it's so funny because I think it's so funny. I actually was talking to another gentleman not too long ago, and we were talking about this very issue. And he's like, you know, people would get really bored out of their mind with balance. So it really doesn't amount to the balance issue. What it really amounts to is having the correct flow or harmony of work and life. And with social media and technology being what it is today, I mean, even 10 years ago, people didn't work and react in this way of like instant gratification. I mean, they just didn't. But today it's so easy. It's at our fingertips that we can do it. So, you know, there's a couple ways that we can do that. One, I mean, ditch the phone. I mean, you know, call it. If it's 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night, put it on silent, put it on back on a charger, get rid of it, ditch it, you know, until the next day. The other thing that I share with people, and it's so stupid simple, but people won't do it. I mean, and again, this all ties back into their self-worth. But, you know, if you could, like, not look at your phone or go to your emails first thing when you wake up in the morning, if you could instead grab a notebook or a journal and your favorite pen or pencil and go to a really quiet, reflective place in your home. I mean, this doesn't have to be like anything fancy. It doesn't have to be a special shrine that you develop. For me, it's my back porch, and I literally light a candle. I grab my tea or my coffee, whatever I'm in the mood for that day, and I literally write out what my intentions are for that day. And I don't spend a lot of time on this. I mean, it's not like I'm writing a novel. I literally just write a couple sentences about the intention that I'm setting for my day, expressing gratitude for where I'm at in my world right now. I mean, even when things are going crazy, there's still something to be grateful for in the chaos. Defining the two action steps that you're going to take in that day to get you forward and moving you into the direction of accomplishing your goals. So if that means spending more time with your family, okay, well then, you know, are you honoring your commitment to unplug from your phone at 7 o'clock at night? You know, especially I'm talking to you mompreneurs out there that are, you know, working both ends of the candlestick trying to stay up and hustle and do all your thing. It's just, it's ludicrous to think that we have to, like, be on everything, on every social media platform, on every networking event, on every, like, whatever. You're really stressing yourself out. You're not getting more done. You're actually, like, spinning your wheel. So whatever those action steps are for you to commit to your goals, just honor that. And then the next day, get up and do it all over again. Set that intention, but get into a quiet place to do that and be reflective on that.
I love that advice because, you know, although it's interesting because when my kids were little, and because I've been a mompreneur since 1994, long before it was glamorous and sexy to be one, you know, where, and I lived with the, you know, when are you going to stop this stuff and get a real job? Back then when my kids were little, I would wake them up for school, and that first morning hour while they were getting up, I was doing my emails and things like that because that's when you're working in your business in that beginning. But then I was a breakfast making mom, drove the kids to school, came home, brought my pitcher of water up to my office, and the next thing I know, the door would open because the kids would come home on the bus. When my kids came home, that was it. I was completely unplugged until they went to bed at night. Now, as my kids are grown and gone, I love what the advice that you're giving because I'm a 6 o'clock in the morning person. I wake up because for 20 years, I woke up at 6 in the morning getting kids ready for school. So even though I don't have to, I do. But that's where I resist. I don't grab my phone. I don't grab my computer. I grab a nice cup of tea. And those first 2 hours, I turn on at 8 in the morning is when I'll turn on my stuff. And it's funny, my family, we all went camping. Well, it's really glamping, but I'll, you know, and over Labor Day weekend. And here, my brothers, my nephew, everybody with their cell phones, their computers. And my brother said to me, he was like, "You haven't even looked at your phone." I said, "My three kids are right here, so I don't need my phone on." You know, when my kids aren't camping with us, I would check my phone once a day, send them a text, "Hi, guys," and then that's it. And they laugh because they're like, "Your whole life is online." I said, "That's right." And I love nothing better than shutting it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I was out to lunch with somebody the other day, and I turned behind me, and here's this family sitting behind us. Every single one of them was on their phone, the father's playing games, while they're eating their meal. And it was just like, wow, mm-hmm. In this technology-based world that we are in, we really lose sight of that connection, that familial connection. I mean, let's face it, I'm sure you've coached women who've never been to a live networking event.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, that's interesting too. So thank goodness for technology because, again, a lot of my clients are outside of the immediate, you know, regional area that I live in. And so now, of course, if I work with them here, they're probably somebody that I run into at a live networking event. However, if there's somebody that have connected with me on Facebook and, you know, found me through a Facebook group or, you know, through maybe a post that I had, you know, boosted or whatever, it's amazing how many people do not know how to just check into the Rotary Association. I mean, there's in my immediate area, I think there's like 17 Rotary chapters. It's ridiculous. So there's plenty of opportunity, and they meet once a week. But, you know, they could even plug into their Chamber of Commerce, too. And a lot of people might, like, look at that and say, oh, well, that's too stuffy. Because I used to be one of them. I used to think that I wasn't good enough or worthy enough to network with a bunch of professionals at a Chamber of Commerce event. But I got to tell you that, you know, some of the greatest people I've ever met were either a Rotarian or they were a Chamber of Commerce member. Because they get it. They're a small business owner. They go through the same trials and tribulations that we all do, you know, working in our families to provide the best experiences for them, but also, you know, working in our businesses. And whether you're a sales professional and you're thinking about business ownership, or you are that existing business owner that is like racking your brain trying to get more traction in your business, those are opportunities in your backyard. And I think a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just blow it up on social media land and I'm going to be a, you know, internetpreneur and that's what I'm going to do and that's going to rock my world. You're sadly mistaken if you're going to do that overnight without a base of people in your backyard to help you with that, you know. So that's like something that people are like, oh, my gosh, like, why would I even think about going to a live event when I have everybody at my fingertips on social media? Well, that's half of it, but the other half is getting to know the people that live in your backyard.
Well, and, you know, it's an amazing thing because, you know, I'll do conferences. I've done them as a vendor. I've done them as an attendee. And I make great contacts, obviously, as a vendor because people are coming to me and it's my little stage. I make more contacts walking the show and talking to different people. And see, this is where I think that as much as I love technology, it's where it is that gap because there is nothing more important than that handshake because guess what? Now when you connect with that person on social media, you have a friend who now wants to introduce you to all of their friends as opposed to, and I'm not saying, I mean, believe me, I've made social media friends that are some of my closest friends in the world. It's weird. You know, it's a strange thing to have never sat down in person with somebody, but if I'm on the ledge, that's who I'll call, you know? So, you know, they are real relationships that you create, but nothing is more important then finally sitting down, even the sponsors that we have for Word of Mom Radio. When I go out of town, if I'm in their area, I have connected with them, sat down with them. And it's so much more fun because now you are putting, not that you don't have the face and everything else, but you're putting the hug in. You're putting the life in, you know, and there's something so special about that. That in today's amazing technology world, because let's face it, what we can do now is remarkable, the way that you can get your name out there, your business out there, your mission, the things that you care about. But in, you know, losing that human contact to me is the oops that happens with it. And you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you're so right when you say that, because again, it's just, and I get it. I mean, there's people living in Australia right now that I converse with on a weekly basis. Is it very probable that I'm going to connect and give her a hug physically in the next year? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just depends on, you know, okay, if I grow enough of my following over in Australia, and I've got to make that effort to get over there. But that's a huge commitment. But I guess my answer, or my, I thought answer my own thought there, it's just, are you willing to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes? T. Har Eckhart says that, you know, has said that before, in, you know, in his teachings and his books. Are you willing to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to grow your business? So if that means getting out there, shaking hands, kissing babies, then by golly, go do it. You know, don't be afraid of, you know, is it going to be perfect? Are people going to like me? You know, chances are people are not everybody's going to like you. As much as I would like to think that I'm the queen, you know, there are people out there, believe it or not, that probably could care less for me. So I'm okay with that, because I don't wish them ill. I wish them well. I want them to be successful, but they're not my cup of tea, and I'm not their cup of tea. So for whatever reason, that's fine. There's a bajillion other people out there in the world that I can impact. So next, move on. Don't worry about it being perfect. Just make sure that it's authentic and genuine, and people relate to that and they connect with that first.
See, I love that you brought up, it's so funny when you brought up your friends in Australia. Petka Roo, who has been here on our show a couple of times, she's a marvelous artist and mompreneur, and she's just wonderful. My daughter is getting ready to go to Australia in the next six months for a year or so. And through Twitter, I connected with a bunch of people in Australia that own restaurants and things, and my daughter took a bartending course because she figured no matter where she is, she could always get a job. I connected her on Facebook with Tetka. I've connected her with all of these different people who are like, oh, don't worry, Mom, when she's out here, we got her, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
You know, what a fabulous thing. You know, and Tetka and I were laughing because we Skype and stuff like that, but we were laughing that she'll probably get a chance to hug my daughter before she gets a chance to hug me, you know,
right,
which
exactly.
As a mom, you can't ask for any better. You always want your kids to have more than you had. You know, so, but this is the joy of the WWW, because people forget that means World Wide Web, you know? Yeah, WWW, but it is, and it's created a world that's right in your own backyard, you know, as vast and huge as it is. So with that note, we need to take a quick break so I can thank our marvelous sponsors for today's show. Live and Love Creations on Etsy. I want to introduce you to Jenny Neglick, who makes handmade items with love. She's the wife and mother of a four-year-old, and she's obsessed with creating and sewing, and she creates comfortable quality clothing accessories for children. She can do any style in any print. You can just request a custom order. She enjoys designing, creating, and sewing, and every day she's taking her talent to new levels. So if you don't see something that you want, you can just ask, because her family and her business are her absolute passion, and the things that she creates are absolutely beautiful. So you can find her at Live N, just the N, Love Creations on Etsy. You can find her on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. I really connect with Jenny. She's absolutely wonderful. And our other guest sponsor today is Hope Whistle, and she wants to welcome you to her pink bubble called 31. She's known as the Bag Lady, and she's a retired social worker who now loves to celebrate, encourage, and reward hardworking women with fun, fashionable, and affordable products, many of which can be personalized for that special someone. Their products range from purses and totes and accessories to jewelry by JK by 31. And if you're not sure what you want, you can let her become your personal shopper. And she wishes you all a 31 wonderful day. And you can connect with her at 31gifts, www.mamaradio.com, on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. She is all over social media. So I really, you know, connect with these wonderful women who sponsor our show, and you can go to wordofmomradio.com and hit our Mompreneur Marketplace or meet our sponsors and connect with all of these women, because their products and services that they are providing are really wonderful. And I thank them for being, you know, part of our Word of Mom Radio family. So we are back with Erica Queenie Kastner, and I want to ask you, what's your biggest achievement so far? Because I know you have, you know, your achievements will continue to grow, but what is your biggest achievement so far, and how did you do it?
Well, thank you for asking that question. So this seems to keep changing, you know, because, let's see, when I was finishing my undergrad and a long time ago, about 15, 16 years ago, I actually accomplished that goal in about 2 years. So I took a four-year program and condensed it down to two. And so at the time, that was my biggest achievement. That was my biggest claim to fame. But I guess today in the present moment, I guess my biggest achievement would be this. Like, I have a great family. I have a great support team around me. My husband is just phenomenal. My two gift daughters, Lauren and Brooke, are amazing. But there was a time, even 2 years ago, when we were new to our marriage, that things were just a hot mess. We share custody with the girls' mom, so they're with us 50% of the time. And 2 years ago, they were literally screaming at us and crying and saying that they really needed more of our attention. And they, of course, they weren't saying those words, but they were saying things like, well, we'd rather go stay with our mom. And to me, that was a crushing blow, because, like, here I was giving, and now all of a sudden I have these two girls that would rather go live with their mom full time and maybe see us, like, on the weekends, if that. And when we got down to the root of what the problem was, I mean, you know, I get it. You're teenage girls. You want to stay in one place. You want to call one place your home. And that must be frustrating. I mean, for anybody that's out there doing that dual household thing, I mean, I get you. I feel you. It's tough. And I can't imagine having to go back and forth between two homes. I mean, fortunately for me, my parents didn't get divorced until I was much older. So I never had to experience that. But I guess our biggest achievement was working through that process and getting them to a place of, you know, understanding that our household can be different. I mean, you know, their mom is great. I really appreciate and admire everything that she's done through this entire process. I mean, because, you know, again, there are women out there that are probably listening to this thinking, gosh, I wish my kid's birth mom would, you know, go away. But I don't wish that for my kid's mom. I mean, she's terrific. So we really do have an awesome relationship. But for us, it was really just defining our roles, me getting clarity on what my role was in their world, that I wasn't their mom, but I was somebody that was a special resource for them. And then finding out what really sings and sings to their heart, you know. So that was a process. That was something that didn't happen overnight. There was a lot of crying. There was a lot of, you know, fact-finding, a lot of coaching. You know, I worked with my coach. The girls had a counselor that they were working through. But we got through it all. And so now we've come up with a system to really make them feel like they're connected to us when they're here. And then they're connected with their mom. But, you know, at the time, we were workaholics. I mean, my husband and I both had, you know, very crazy jobs, and this is when I was still working at the Chamber of Commerce. So we had a very crazy schedule, and basically the bottom line was they didn't feel special. They didn't feel important here. They felt like work took the front seat in every scenario in our life, and so we really had to shift gears because otherwise it could have turned out way uglier. I mean, you know, they could have totally went over to their moms and never talked to us again. And, I mean, I don't think it would have gotten that dramatic. But, you know, at the time it felt pretty dramatic, and it was just, it was quite a difficult process. But we got through it. And I have to say that today I've got a beautiful friendship with my daughters. You know, but I'm not their best friend. I'm an important person in their world. I still guide them. I don't let them get away with much. but they respect that and they love that. And today we get to work together, which is nice, you know, because over the summer, you know, what else are they doing? You know, I had one that was in dance, the other one not so much, but, you know, we put them to work and they learned that. And just integrating, you know, better communication into our family, by golly, that probably has to be my biggest achievement to date so far.
What a marvelous achievement. I love that it had to do with your, you know, your being an S mom. Heather mm-hmm. Hetchler created this company, the S Mom Cafe, because mm-hmm. as a stepmom, the first year that Mother's Day came along and her stepchildren couldn't buy her anything because there was nothing mm-hmm. there for them. And so she created, you know, the S Mom Cafe, where, because that is such a unique position to be in. And good for you that you are a guide for them, but you're not looking to be their best friend. You know, mm-hmm. as teenagers, they need guides. They need parents. They need, you know, role models to look up to. And if you do the parenting, if you do that part with your whole heart, and honestly, my kids now are in their 20s and grown and gone, the friendship naturally happens. But when push comes to shove, I'll always be their mom first.
Right.
You know, and it is. It's you know, it's quite an achievement. Good
yeah,
for
you.
And,
so
I, and I'm serious from the heart. I think it's wonderful that that is what you consider your biggest achievement. So, looking back now, what's the biggest lesson you've learned, and how do you help others? You know, when they're looking at that.
So that's a beautiful question, and I'll answer it this way today. So perception is everything, right? So, you know, when we have things that happen to us, it's our perception of the way things happened, right? It's not necessarily the other person's perception that we're after. So whenever I'm in a situation, whether it's working with a client or, you know, helping my kids or understanding something that my husband needs guidance through, or even like helping a professional peer,
nope. We have had a glitch in our recording over here.
Are you there?
Hello? There you are. Technology okay. is so awesome when it works.
So where did you lose me, Dory? Let me start from there.
Right as you were, you know what? My brain just did a skip. Because I was like,
okay.
I was listening to you, and then you disappeared.
Well, let me repeat it, because you know what? It's so worth repeating again. So if you guys heard it again, no big whoop. It's worth hearing again. So perception is everything. And so if we're looking at it only from our perspective, our feelings are going to get hurt time and time and time again, because we're not thinking about the other person's reaction. We're only thinking that their reaction is because of something we did, and that is the furthest thing from truth. So looking back on any experience, or you know, even when I was just telling you that story about my daughters, everything at the end of the day, it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with their perception mm-hmm. of the situation. So I really had to get big. I really had to say, okay, like, it's not really about me. I mean, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the other person. So if you can put on that hat for a moment and try to see it from somebody else's perspective, it really allows you to take the emotion out of most situations. Now, granted, I know that there are a ton of emotional things that you know, some of your listeners out there are dealing with right now. I mean, that story of, you know, working with the birth mom, was that something that was like magically happened overnight? No, I have a very interesting story, because I actually knew my kid's birth mom before I got married to my husband. So that's kind of an interesting story for another time. But so that I had that working for me, so that helped. But there's still that fine line that you toe with, you know, the other household, the other family, there's still conflict that comes up. So I think the biggest lesson for me was, looking back on anything in my life, really just looking at it from trying to look at things moving forward as if I'm looking at somebody else's perspective on it. Because when I get into that headspace of it's all about me and that other person must be reacting because of something I did, I'm going to be causing a lot of stress on myself, a lot of emotional headache that I really don't need to be putting onto myself. But if I can say, you know what, that's on them, it has nothing to do with me, then I'm free from those emotional challenges. And life is a hell of a lot easier to live that way than living in this constant state of, well, what did I do? And, you know, that person must not like me because, you know, I did X, Y, Z. No, that person might just be, like, putting some distance because they've got some chaos in their world. And, I mean, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with where they're at in their world. So just getting over that, the world revolves around me sense. And I know that's kind of a hard coming from, quote, unquote, the queen. but it is. It's probably one of those, like, you know, the big paradox shift of just saying, okay, this people are doing things the way that they perceive it. It has really nothing to do with me at all. And the Four Agreements, I'm sure you've read this book, Dory, but for anybody out there, Don Miguel Ruiz wrote this book called The Four Agreements. If you guys have not read it, that was a game changer for me. I mean, I recently read it, now probably about a year or so ago, but that is, I've read it again, and it's one of those things that hits you square in the eyes if you're not in touch with those agreements to yourself. So one of that is not taking anything personally. And so I'm not going to share the other agreements. If you haven't read it, go read it. It's a wonderful book. It's a quick read, but it is definitely something that changed my life and my perception on judging others and how they judge me.
You know, it's really interesting. Perception, really, truly, and trying to see something from how somebody else looks at it. I actually did a personality test, and they said that I have a very, I constantly see everybody's side of the story, and that for many people, that is an infuriating quality that I have. Because friends, lovers, whatever, they want you to be right on their side and that's it. And so a lot of times if you look at somebody and say, well, you know what, but you're not thinking about how this person's feeling or that person's feeling, even in my own personal life when something happens to me, before I you know, I stop and I'm trying to think of where this person's coming from and why they're reacting this way and stuff. And again, from, you know, this personality test actually said that while it's a great quality, will really tick a lot of people off. I love that for you, that's a big lesson that you've learned, because I think it's really important. I really do. I really think that it is so important to look at why somebody else or how somebody else or where somebody else is coming from before you, like you said, take their reaction personally, as opposed to looking at why they've reacted like this. Why you've said this, but they've heard that. You know?
It's a very humbling place to be in, too. You know, because, again, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm saying this now from a place of logic, but I'm going to tell you that the next time I'm smacked in the face with some sort of, you know, crossroads, or, you know, where, you know, I don't necessarily see eye to eye with my husband or my kids or, you know, my clients, not really my clients, because they're paying me, so that helps. But, you know, like, you know, but people that I, you know, might sit on, you know, professional committees with, you know, like maybe, or on an advisory board together, and we're not going to see eye to eye on things. And so there are some emotions that come up through that process. And so as logically as it sounds today that I'm saying, you know, try not to let it affect you, and there are moments where I'm tested, you know, all the time on that. And it hurts, and it's a little uncomfortable. And, you know, my husband even calling me on it sometimes. And that's the person that I really don't want to have call me on it, you know. I mean, I want him to, like, totally see it from my perspective all the time. But he's like, Erica, you're being a little, you know, you're really not seeing it from a different person's perspective. Don't go there, you know. Like, you're letting somebody else's personal, you're letting somebody else take your personal power away. And when I hear those words, I'm just like, oh, crap, I have to, you know, hello, let's put the right, you know, let's put the you know, the correct goggles on, you know, to see this from somebody else's perspective. So it's a humbling place to be, and it's one that takes practice.
Well, you know, it's funny. My son, my oldest son, who is now 27, when he was 19, said to me one time, we were talking about my daughter who was 14 and in the throes of hormones, and I just didn't know where my cute little girl went. And he said to me one day, he goes, you know, Mom, she's responsible for her actions. You're responsible for your reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh, that is brilliant. And it's mm-hmm. really true. It's really true. And I'm at that place in my life. I'm living a very mindful existence. And when I wake up in the morning, my first thought is, you know, thank you for the blessings of the day that I don't even know are going to happen yet. My goal is always being better than I was the day before. And I don't let people's actions change my reactions. Mm-hmm. I choose to react from a positive place. And I just don't have time for negative energy and things like that. And, you know, sometimes the hardest thing in the world to do is just walk away from those things that are sucking the energy out of you and everything else, because not every place that you are is where you're supposed to be. It's just where you are right that moment. And you can choose to live in this negative place, or you can choose to walk away and just continue on with your day instead of taking, I don't know about you, but I used to carry so much of everybody else's baggage with me. I didn't have time to pack my own bags. I had everybody mm-hmm. else's baggage I was carrying, you know, and I think, and especially as moms and mompreneurs and stuff like that, we tend to do that. We tend to take our children's hurts on us and this and that, instead of trusting them to deal with their own, to be there, to be that voice. No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think a lot of it stems from, you know, and here's the thing, I'm going to be really vulnerable for a minute. I mean, I guess I have been for most of this show, but I'm going to get even deeper on you, ladies. But, you know, I think my own insecurities about motherhood really stem from my own relationship with my mother. And so I think that there's a lot of you out there that might be listening that think, okay, that you're overcompensating because maybe you didn't get certain things when you were growing up, but then today you maybe not top of mind, but somewhere in your subconscious mind, you want to place yourself in a spot where your kids really see you as an awesome provider. You know what I mean? So I feel that, like, there are a lot of women out there that feel like they miss the boat, or they get into this space where they don't have a connection to their kids because they're still dealing with family issues that they had growing up. And until those things are resolved, until those things are, you know, kind of laid to rest, or you're cutting the anchor from those situations, you really, truly can't move forward. I mean, you might get ahead on some level, but it's really not going to, you're really not manifesting great energy. And so going back to the thought you said earlier about cutting the ties, you know, with negativity, there were certain people in my family that I really, 23, I had to make that decision and say, you know what, like, this isn't serving me anymore. And they might be blood, but I can't be in this place. I mean, it's pulling me down. And every time I talk to this person, they're cutting me, you know, not physically, but metaphorically, they're cutting open the wounds and old wounds. And they're just, they're not serving me. And I don't wish them ill. I really want to see them be successful. And I still love them to this very day, but we physically can't have a relationship with one another. And so those are some other things that I, you know, work with a lot of my clients on, is really letting go of some of those belief systems that, you know, family is family and you got to stick, you know, to it. Well, I got to tell you, sister, if you're in a situation where, you know, it's holding you back and drowning you into a sea of stuff that isn't good, it's time to drop the anchor. It's time to cut the ties. And there's ways to do that. You know, that again, that's a way longer episode. That's perhaps a whole other episode, Jory, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it definitely is a process. And you've got to take, it goes back to that mentality of taking care of yourself first. And then when you do relieve yourself of that situation, you can really move forward and be supportive to other people who might be going through the same situation.
You know, it's interesting. I was going to ask you, Erica, what makes you unique in the way that you work with your clients, but I think this whole interview and this whole conversation has really pointed out how unique you are in your coaching and in the way you approach things.
Thank you.
I really do. I think it would almost be a redundant question. So instead, I'm going to ask you, what gets you excited about your business? You know, and what you do.
I love that question. I love that question. Well, thank you for acknowledging my uniqueness. I really appreciate that.
No, I truly mean it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, I guess what gets me jazzed about my business is I get to do whatever the heck I want. So it's true. I mean, obviously, you know, I walk my clients through a proven process, you know, so we coach them. You know, if I'm coaching one person through my one-on-one program, it's the same process I'm working through for everybody. It's just it's different stuff for that individual. We're getting ready to roll out a group program, which is a home study program that working moms can do at their own pace, and then they'll be able to check into virtual hours with me, you know, throughout the week. But it's more flexible for people that aren't necessarily in a position to commit to a one-on-one program, because it's not only a financial investment, but it's also a time investment because you're meeting with me once a week. But going back to what gets me excited is, like, you know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, like, doing a home study program in a coaching capacity was kind of unheard of. And today, there's so many tools out there for people to do just that. So, I mean, I think anybody in business, if they've got some sort of teaching or training system or series that they, you know, are teaching in their backyard, you know, maybe they're teaching on a small scale, they can scale that to a much bigger audience through, you know, social media and through other partnerships, you know, creating, you know, win-win partnerships with other entrepreneurs that are in a similar field. So that's really exciting for me, is just being able to connect with awesome entrepreneurs like yourself, where we get to do stuff like this, where, you know, here it is, I get to talk, you know, in my jammies. Not really, I promise I'm not in my jammies, but if I wanted to be, I could be in this interview, and that's brilliant, you know, that's definitely putting me in a place where I have the freedom and flexibility to, you know, create anything I want. And through social media, through other developments in technology, I have that luxury of being able to really plug into anything I really want to do. And, of course, when I say that, I do say this with the caveat that, you know, if you're thinking, okay, yeah, I can go out there and do a radio show or do a podcast or do a YouTube video or do whatever, whatever you're thinking about doing to grow your business, absolutely do it. Go rock it out. But go at it with a plan. You know, go out there with a system and know how to do it. You know, Dory, obviously coordinating this interview with me, you obviously had a beautiful system laid out. I knew exactly what was going to, you know, what the expectations were. So for those of you that are out there thinking about taking your mom's mobile and scaling it to the World Wide Web and to the globe, have systems in place to support you. Have other people on the team to get you to that next level. Don't think that you have to do it all by yourself, because you're going to run yourself ragged, and you know, there's way too many resources out there for you to plug into to support and uplift your goals to rock your universe.
I so agree with you. You know, we have our business shows, our business spotlight shows, which actually you'll be running. This is, you know, where you are is in our business spotlight. And it's interesting because I occasionally will coach. And the first thing I'll ask somebody is, what are you wearing? Oh, I love to work from home because I can be in my PJs. And I'm like, you know what? Then you're not really taking yourself that seriously. And it's funny because I have every once in a while, I'm just in that I want to stay in my PJs day. And I went out and bought myself these silk pajamas with this silk robe. And I'm like, you know, back from the, like, 1950s where women had those lounging pajamas. And if I'm in that mood, that's what I put on. And it's so funny because I did my show one time and I was like, yes, and just so you know, I'm in that lounging mood. So I am here in my silk pajamas, because that's where I was today. Still have a little mascara on, but, you know, and it was, you know, and it's so funny that, and I always tell, I don't care what kind of business you have, whether it's brick and mortar, you know, you're doing direct sales, whatever, create a business plan for yourself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're not going looking for funding or anything like that, but create some kind of a blueprint. Because if you don't know, if you don't have an idea of where you want your business to go, I can drive from New York to California, and I know I'll get there. I just have to keep going west. But I'm going to wind up in a lot of places I didn't need to be because I didn't have a clear vision on how I was going to get where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's absolutely true.
And I think that that's one of the unique things about when you are coaching and working with people, you know, is helping them create that roadmap. And it's not there for you. It's like, look, I'm not going to map out your journey. You have to map out your own journey. And we get to be the cheerleader on the side going, yeah, good job, you know. And you know, so it's an interesting place. And I can imagine the people working with you have to be so pleased to be working with you because you have such a great energy and a really wonderfully unique perspective on how you work with people. And I think that, there you go, that's what makes you the queen of results. So... what's the one thing that you want people to take away from this conversation, Erica?
Well, I think that, here's the thing. I think that for many of us working moms out there, we are wearing way too many hats. And we think that we've got to get everything done, but we end up doing nothing at all, right? I mean, like, because there's all these, like, you know, like open files, right? Like if you think about like looking at your desktop on your computer, I mean, this is actually what happened to me before my husband got me another monitor so I could organize files a little better. But, you know, we've got so many files open and we're into all these different things and we're working on a little bit of things at a time, but we're not really perfecting anything. We're just kind of like half-heartedly doing things. So what I challenge everybody your listeners to think about is, you know, what's the one thing that you can do this week that's going to rock your world moving forward? Like, don't think about 27 things. Think about one. And then focus on the steps that you're going to need to take to accomplish that goal. Some of my followers, of course, this is on my website over at thequeenofresults.com, I actually share my weight loss journey. About 2 years ago, I lost about 35 pounds. That didn't happen overnight. I didn't swallow a bunch of pills and down a bunch of shakes and, you know, like starve myself to death to make that happen. I did it healthy. I ate good foods. I exercised on a regular basis and I was accountable to my goals. So I, 4 months later, I lost the 35 pounds. Now people would think, oh my God, you did that unhealthy. No, I didn't. But guess what? Instead of looking at the big goal, I said, well, what can I lose in the next month, 30 days? And then from that goal, what can I do in the next week? To, you know, like, what does that look like each week and what can I do each week to stay accountable to my goal? Well, I knew if I wanted to lose 2.5 pounds every week to make my ultimate goal, which is the 35, I had to eat healthy and I had to exercise. It was that simple. So it doesn't have to be super hard. It doesn't have to be anything that's crazy. But whatever that goal looks like for you, think about what you can do the next 7 days to get you closer to that goal. And then next week, do the same thing. And the following week, do the same thing until you get to that place of a feeling that you've accomplished something. The final thought that I want to share on that is when you do accomplish that 7-day goal, celebrate like hell. Celebrate like a mad woman. I don't care if you have to run through. I mean, go outside and do a happy dance. I mean, let people see you. It's okay. I do it. I start screaming when, you know, people, like, call my number at the deli. So, you know, I'm like, hallelujah. Like, thank God you called my number. So they look at me funny, but I'm like, I don't care. I just made your day, right? You laughed a little bit. Accomplish the goal. So celebrate that because, again, no matter how small that might seem in your world, that's a huge step in gaining more confidence and clarity around what's important to you and for your family and the other people that are around for you.
I love that. I'm sorry. It just made me think of the kids. My kids and I, we were driving. This is a couple of years ago. Now, my kids are all adults. One of my sons is married now. And we were and their whole life, whenever we passed animals, I'd be like, you know, I'd see a bunch of cows, and I'd always say, hello, girls, moo, and little things like that. So we're driving, and we see these cows, and I went, hello, girls. And as I went to go, moo, all three of them went, moo. And then we laughed. We were laughing for about 15 minutes. And they were like, you know, Mommy, it's crazy, but I never go past animals that I'm not like, hey, horses. I was like, I'm so glad to hear that. It's those little things in life that you know, just have to make you laugh. And it is. It's just celebrating everybody celebrates the big things. Celebrate those small things, too. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's not about waiting for the miracle to happen. It's realizing that this is the miracle. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here.
Right.
We're here.
And living in that
mindset, that is the miracle.
Living in that mindset, I know we're probably going to be wrapping it up here, but living in that mindset of, well, what if, or when I have this happen, that's when I'll be happy. Well, you're going to be, constantly waiting for that moment, because when you finally do mm-hmm. achieve that, it might not be the thing that's the ultimate key to happiness. So just live in the present. Do what Dori says. Live in that energy of, today's that day. Be celebrating your accomplishments and your opportunities to grow in this present moment. Don't wait for it to happen, tomorrow. Do it today.
Right on. And with that, we are wrapping up, so let everybody know how they can reach you. We know we have thequeenofresults.com. How can they find you on Facebook and Twitter?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking that question. So I'm on Twitter. I'm at just simply at Queen of Results, and I'm on that as on Periscope as well too. So for anybody that's on Periscope, go follow me at Queen of Results. And then I have this little group called the Proclamation of Power Moms. It's a Facebook group. We have an amazing following there. There's a ton of resources on there. Dori, I know you're in the group, so I like to try to throw you a shout-out every once in a while in the group. But we have a ton of energy in that group. So I encourage anybody that wants to continue in that mom energy and look for other resources to beyond the fabulous one that Dori has provided. That's another resource that you can pull from as well. But definitely come check me out, thequeenofresults.com. And, of course, if you have any questions and you want to ask me on a sidebar note, by all means, connect with me, Erica, E-R-I-C-A, at thequeenofresults.com.
Well, Erica, thank you so much. I knew this was going to be a fun conversation. I really did. And I absolutely love the work that you're doing. And as I said, there was no reason for me to ask you how you and uniquely come at things, because it's so evident in the way you share. So thank you again for taking the time to be with us here on Word of Mom Radio. For all of you tuning in, thanks so much for sharing your time with us. And we will see you on another show. So until then, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.